All right. Everybody doing all right? Thanks for coming out on Sunday night of Mother's Day. And it's a good thing. You know, a lot of places in the world, they don't have anything like this, Mother's Day. And I've been places and I've had them say, that's a wonderful thing. I said, yeah, it's a great thing. And we thank God for all of those who are moms. And God bless you so much. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, if you got your Bible, I want you to turn to Romans chapter 5. I want to talk to you tonight about peace. But in talking about peace, I'm not going to talk about the peace that is calm in the midst of a storm. I'm not talking about that kind of peace. I don't want to talk tonight about the peace that we have by living in this world that we can have through Christ, and we do have it through Christ, in living in this life. You know, he said, in the world, you'll have tribulation, but be good, you know, but be good cheer. I've overcome the world. Well, we're not talking about peace that overcomes tribulation tonight. I don't want to talk about that tonight. I want to talk about the peace of God that has brought reconciliation to the world and to us. And some aspects of that that we need to understand. You know, throughout the Old Testament, and we'll look at one scripture in Isaiah, but through it, God had promised peace. But Israel missed it. They kept looking for a national peace. They kept looking, you know, they kept asking Jesus, are you going to, you know, basically, are you going to kick the Romans out now? And so we can live in peace and not in this bondage any longer? They kept looking for that kind of peace, and Jesus didn't come to bring that kind of peace yet. There's coming a day that kind of peace will be here. Even, and we'll look at it, but let me say it now. Even when the angels announced peace on earth, they weren't talking about that kind of peace. They were talking about peace between God and his man. Peace between God and you. All right? The kind of peace that has done away, there is no more struggle between you and God. There is no more conflict between you and God. You and God are no longer enemies, even though God was really never our enemy. All right? We'll talk about that perhaps. But I want us to read here in Romans chapter 5, because this is this peace, some have called it the gospel of peace, I understand that, but this peace is not something that we expect. We are to live in this peace. And the reality that we have peace with God. Now, Romans 5, verse 1. I'm going to read it from the King James. And if you know me, I kind of take these and thous out. So I don't know what version this actually is. But I have a King James in front of me. We are going to read it from the Amplified here in a moment. Romans 5, 1. Therefore, being justified, that means declared right, by faith, we have, everybody say have. Now, notice it didn't say, it doesn't say gonna have. It says we have. Have. When did this take? This took place based on what Jesus has done. We have peace with God. Because why? We've been justified by faith. Declared righteous by faith. We have peace with God. So if we are the righteousness of God in Christ, then we have this peace. You see, you couldn't be justified with God without it making peace between you. There's no longer, in other words, we're no longer an enemy of the state of heaven. We're not on God's most wanted list of transgressors. See, that's all been done away with. We're now peaceful with God. He's at peace with us, and we're at peace with him. He goes on to say, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. What kind of grace? The grace that has brought us peace. Notice that we are to stand in it. We are to live in it. We are in a good place with God, not because of what we have done, but because we have chosen to believe what God has done for us. Now, this gospel message, we need to keep preaching this to ourselves. Because if we're not careful, we keep trying to struggle to have peace with God, and it's already done. Amen. Now, that didn't mean that all my actions are correct. Didn't mean I don't have to renew my mind. But I'm talking about that peace that's not of this natural world and not of this flesh, and that has nothing to, it's the peace that we have with God, and it's a reconciliation that's taken place on the inside. We've been reconciled to God. The Amplified Bible here, I like this, verse 1. Therefore, since we are justified, acquitted, declared righteous, and given a right standing with God through faith, let us grasp the fact that we have the peace of reconciliation to hold and to enjoy. See, this is the kind of peace. It doesn't go somewhere and come back. We're held on to it. This is not a peace that goes away. This is the peace that we have because of what Jesus has done. He says, peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Anointed One. Through him, also, we have our access, entrance, and introduction by faith into this grace, state of God's favor, in which we firmly and safely stand. Let us rejoice, and exult in our hope of experiencing and enjoying the glory of God. Now, let's go to John chapter 14. Jesus talked about peace, a peace that's not of this world. And again, I think we've misunderstood, and we're trying to always apply it to our circumstances. Now, I'm not saying we can't have peace in the midst of circumstances, but you're not going to have peace in the midst of circumstances if you don't know you've got peace with God already, because there's no basis of confidence. See, this peace puts me in a place of confidence with God, of trust with God, because I know there's nothing between God and I, so I can boldly come to his throne. I have access by one Spirit. We have access by the same Spirit, right? To God. Because there's nothing between us. Amen. Now, read here in John 14, 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Now that tells me here, he's talking about the inner man. This is a peace that resides on the inside. Now see, I even think this, I've been studying this, been looking at this, because in studying these things out, you know how sometimes you'll have something, you think you got it figured out, and then God kind of turns it a little bit and you see it from a different side. And a lot of things of God apply in a lot of areas. But you know, the Bible talks about let the peace of God rule in your hearts. One translation says, let the peace of God rule as an umpire. And we've been trying to get a feeling of peace. And the real peace he's talking about is the peace we have because we're reconciled to God. Let that rule your inner man and your inner life and your spiritual life. I'm at peace with God. I'm not trying to be right with God. I'm not trying to do something to make God like me. I'm not trying to do it. I've already got it through Jesus Christ. Now, how do you access it? Through faith. But that peace, he said, this is not the kind of peace that the world's going to give or even that you're looking for in the world. He's talking about a greater peace. Look at John 16. I mentioned this earlier, that in the world, but verse 33, he prefaced that about tribulation with saying these things I have spoken unto you, that in me, everybody say in me. How many of you are in Christ? Now is that's a spiritual union, am I right? In him. Now we know he's made provision for our natural man. By his stripes we're healed. We know he supplies all of our needs according to his riches and glory. But he's talking about in him. What did he say? In him, that in me you might have peace. In the world, but I'm not in the world. Oh, I'm in it, but I'm not of it. But see, but as we live in this world, you're going to have tribulation, but be of good cheer. Because what happened? Jesus has overcome the world. Amen? All right, let's look in Luke chapter 2. Now here we see these angels. It's interesting as we read this. And again, I think sometimes, you know, and Israel of the day that Jesus was on the earth, at the time he was on the earth, was looking for a natural deliverer. They weren't looking for a spiritual deliverer, even though they had, but they had gotten to the place they were looking for a natural deliverer. You know, even the disciples, even after they'd been with him, they said, are you going to restore your kingdom at this time? All right. And he said, that's in the Father's hands. That's coming. But here in Luke 2, verse 14, look, notice what these angels said. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, and peace, goodwill toward man. There's a comma there. What kind of peace? Well, goodwill toward man. From who? From God. Now here again, he's not talking about peaceful relations between people. He's talking about peace between God and man that God is initiating by sending his son, by sending the Messiah. It is a initiation of peace. Hallelujah. Peace from God to us, toward us, because of what Jesus was going to do. Now I'm reminded in Acts 10:10, there about verse 34, Peter's at Cornelius' house, he starts preaching. He said how God came and preached peace to us by Jesus Christ. Peace, what do you mean peace? Peace between, oh, you know, now quit fighting and have peace. No, he's talking about peace between God and man. That peace that we are, that peace that we have inside of us, between it, because what was between us has been done away with forever by the blood of Jesus. Let's look at Isaiah 9 now. Isaiah chapter 9. You know, if you go through life, you go through your day, and on the inside, you carry about the knowledge and the knowing and the revelation, I'm in a good place with God. Why? Because of what you've done? No, because of what God's done. See, I couldn't do enough good to get in a good place with God. That's the story of the gospel. I couldn't get to God, but he came to me. We sing that old song, he paid a debt he did not owe. I owed a debt I could not pay. I needed someone. Wash my sins away. Now I sing a brand new song, Amazing Grace, the whole day long. Christ Jesus paid a debt that I could never pay. Amen. He came and he took care of this. What was between me and God, he took care of. Here in Isaiah 9, verse 6, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Now it talks about, and of his government there'll be no end. It talks about that in that. But here again, he didn't come to set up an earthly government. It's a spiritual nation and family that we are, if you will, of God, the people of God. And he is the Prince of that peace. Ephesians chapter 2, please. Hallelujah. This message, this is the gospel message. This is the message. We're going to see here what he said, in 2 Corinthians. This is the message that God has for us to take to a lost and dying world, if you will. And it's the message that we should be constantly in remembrance of in our own selves. My right standing with God, my peaceful, my place of no longer being God's enemy is not determined by me. It's determined by what Jesus has done. And I'm to rest in that and to stand in that. Amen. Now that doesn't mean, see, when I know that, listen, when we talk about this peace that we have that's none of our doing, is only God's doing, this grace in which we stand, all these things, if that causes you, knowing that causes you to live in sin, you have missed the point. Why would God go through all that so you could stay like the devil and live like his real enemy? Jesus did not shed his blood so that you could live in sin and still go to heaven. He did not do that. Hello? So when we talk about this, we're not talking about wanting to see what I can get away with. Amen. If you're trying to see what you can get away with, would you sign up for the baptism? We'll put a note on your name and pastor will hold you under. I'm joking. But sometimes you wonder, we need to dunk them again. They didn't get it. Amen. Being the righteousness of God produces righteous living. Being at peace with God produces godly living. Or it should. Amen. But I think what's hindered us is we've tried to come at it from the outside in instead of living it from the inside out. See, we're told to put on the new man. Work out your salvation with fear and dread. See, work it out. It's in there. Work it out. Put on that new man. Where is he? He's in me. Put him on. Where? On the outside. Hallelujah. All right. Ephesians 2. Let's look at verse, 12. We'll start there. That at that time, this is before we were, at that time you were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope. Now notice this, and without God in the world. We were in, you know, Satan was our Lord, if you will. He talked about that in chapter 2, verse 1 through 3. The prince of the power of the air. That was who we were flowing with him. But now, glory to God, in Christ Jesus. Again, how many of you in Christ? He's talking about you now. You who sometimes were far off are made near by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us. Between who? Well, he does talk a bit about here the Gentile and the Jew. That wall has been broken. But also the wall that was between us and God has been broken. And he has made peace. So now he goes on later there and says, we have access to the Father by him. Glory to God. Now go to Colossians chapter 1. There's probably enough students in here. If I said Ephesians and Colossians are, sister epistles. Thank you. I wanted to start in verse 1, but I have to start in verse 18. And he, speaking of Jesus, is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. For it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. Now notice this. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself. Now notice, who made the peace? God did through Jesus, right? Who reconciled things? God reconciled things to himself. So whose work is this? God's doing the work, isn't he? All right. By him, whether they be things in earth or things in heaven, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now has he reconciled in the body of his flesh through death to present you holy and unblameable and unreprovable in his sight. Now you're born again, spirit is this, if you want to describe it. It is holy, it is unblameable, it is unreprovable in his sight. Because he took that part out of us, the sin nature is done away with in Christ. Now let's read this from the Amplified Bible, please. Here, Colossians 1:18. He also is the head of his body, the church, seeing he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he alone in everything and in every respect might occupy the chief place, stand first, and be preeminent. For it has pleased the Father that all the divine fullness, the sum total of the divine perfection, powers, and attributes, should dwell in him permanently. And God purposed that through and by the service, the intervention of him, the Son, all things should be completely reconciled back to himself, whether on earth or in heaven, as through him the Father made peace by means of the blood of his cross. And although you at one time were estranged and alienated from him and were of hostile attitude of mind and in your wicked activities, yet now has Christ the Messiah reconciled you to God in the body of his flesh through death in order to present you holy and faultless and irreproachable in his Father's presence. Jesus did by sacrificing his flesh what I could never do in my own flesh. And that is reconcile me to God. Hallelujah. Reconciled. The total, anything that stood between has totally been done away with in Christ. Now let's look in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. You know, this is one of, you get, there's, I'm leaving some scriptures out. You could just stand up here tonight and read these scriptures and it'd be a good sermon. Amen. I mean, these things, and these are things, listen, just because you have been saved, just because you have been reconciled to God, don't quit preaching the gospel to yourself of who you are in Christ, who we are in him because of him, and live from the reality of that. Now here in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 18, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. Reconciled means he's made peace between us. And has given to us the ministry of reconciliation. To wit, in other words, what is it? God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing or not counting or not adding up their trespasses unto them. Why? Because he added them up and counted them against Jesus. And has committed unto us the word of reconciliation. He goes on there and says, and because I am Christ's ambassador, we beseech you by God, be reconciled to God. Why? God is not holding that sin that separated you from God against you because Jesus embraced it for us at the cross and paid the penalty for it. Amen? Hallelujah. Now, I want you to go back to the book of Romans. Romans chapter 5. Let's start in verse 8 now. You know, he talked about how the love of God's been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. And that how just at the right time Jesus died for us, the ungodly. That's every one of us. But then he picks up here in verse 8. I want you to start in verse 8. But God commended his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet separated from God, Christ died for us. While we were yet living a lifestyle of being God's enemy, and we had the nature of his enemy, that sin nature, he died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. Now see, here's where we missed it. We thought reconciliation just got us born again, and that was one. No, reconciliation is still working in our life. Now, here's part of what we need to know. We need to know what that word saved means. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of his son, much more being reconciled. So let me ask you, how many of you are reconciled tonight then? If you're a Christian, you're reconciled to God through the blood of Jesus. How did we partake of it? Through faith. Saved by grace through faith. Reconciled to God by what Jesus has done, by having faith in him. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be delivered by his life. That's what the word saved means. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be redeemed by his life, it means. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be kept safe by his life. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be preserved by his life. Much more, being reconciled, how many of you reconciled? We shall be healed by his life. Much more, being reconciled, we shall be made whole by his life. Reconciled. Now see, I don't have to try to get something that I already am. And when I come at it from this position of God has already made peace, and now I'm reconciled to him, and by his, if by his death I was reconciled, how much more now being reconciled shall I be saved by his life? How many of you know Jesus is alive? No more death has no more dominion over him. We are reconciled to God. And because of it, we are joint heirs with Jesus Christ. And on this earth, we're to live as he is. Glory to God. That reconciliation is working the life of God in us. Hallelujah. Matt, I see you sitting over there. Grab all your stuff and come up here. I don't care what you got with you. Come up here. Matt Harrison. Come on up here. Give Amanda your Bible, because you're going to be sin. You can't have a Bible and be sin. This is one of our first year students getting ready to finish his first year. Glory to God. Went to Thailand with us. Had a great time. All right, you stand there. Okay. Travis, would you come up here? Travis, would you come here, please? Amen. Did Dallas stay for church, or did he just play the drums? Come here, Dallas. He's here. Good. All right. This is Adam. Right here. You're God's man. You stand there. Come here, Dallas. You get to play God. This is man. This is good for you. Actually, I'll let you play Jesus, because I want you to do something here. All right. So you're not here yet. You go over there. You go sit down. You turn and face. All right, Travis, face God there. God created man to have perfect fellowship with. They stood face to face, able to talk one to another. All right? But then something happened. Inner sin. Okay? And when sin came, and you embrace sin, you guys embrace, but turn away from God. You turn away from him. You face him. You're still facing him. You guys are still friends. So man in his sin turned from God. Now, I know there's some theologians that say at that time God turned from man, but I don't ever see that God ever turned from man. Because he doesn't embrace his sin, and he no longer can have face-to-face. But I don't know about you. I'm glad God didn't give up and just turn away from us. Now, I understand what they're trying to say, but, you know, I'm kind of hesitant to go that route with it. But here's what happened, all right? God, who's me, and I let you be me for a moment, but God sent Jesus. And Jesus, come here, sin again. Jesus embraced sin for me, all right? Embrace sin. And not only did he embrace it, take him and get him out of here. We don't ever want to see him again. All right, go. Get him out of here. You can come back in a minute and get your stuff when I'm dismissed. But we're not going to see sin in life. Now, what has God done? Jesus took sin. And he took it out. No, go out. 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 You're gone. You're out of here. All right? Now, Dallas, you can still hear me, right? Right? The penalty of sin's been paid. Sin's done away with. He's banished. Now Jesus has risen from the dead. Come on down here, Dallas. Jesus has risen from the dead. Because God's still working on behalf of man. Jesus has risen. And he comes and takes man and turns him around and faces him back to God. Amen. Faces him back to God. And now God and man have fellowship one with another, and sin's totally gone. Amen? Through what Jesus has done. All right, guys. You can come back, Matt. Come back here and get your Bible and get saved. Hallelujah. See, sometimes it's dangerous if the preacher knows your name. So just, you know. Thank you, Matt. Awesome job. You can sit there if you want, unless you want to go back. Okay, he wants to go back over. Well, no wonder he's sitting between two ladies. I don't blame him, man. But when Jesus paid that penalty, and for for three days. It was in the belly of the earth. But when all the righteous and just righteousness of God and the justice of God had been satisfied, Jesus rose from the dead. And when he did, mankind had the opportunity to be reconciled back to God, the way God originally intended man to be. Now, how does that? Man turns to Jesus, and Jesus brings him to God. But notice where sin was, because it's done away with in Christ. And we are reconciled to God. We're not being reconciled to God. We're not trying to be reconciled. We are reconciled to God. We have peace with God. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's all stand on our feet. Father, we thank you and we praise you tonight for peace. Say it, I have peace with God. I am reconciled. I am the righteousness of God in Christ. He is my Father. I'm in Christ. He's in me. I stand in grace because of him. And I have peace with God. And I shall be saved by his life because I am reconciled unto God. In Jesus' name, amen, 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 hallelujah. Now, if you're here tonight and you don't know Christ, you're not reconciled to God, you can be. Like the Apostle Paul said, I stand here as Christ's ambassador on his behalf, and I say, be reconciled to God. He's not holding any sin against you. He held it to Jesus. And so you can be free tonight. Amen. If our prayer team would come. If you need to know Christ, you've never accepted Christ, you want to accept Christ tonight. As they're coming, I want to pray for you. I want you to raise your hand. Just wave it at me. If you want tonight for the very first time to say yes to Jesus, wave your hand at me. I want to look around. I don't know everybody. I don't know that we had any visitors, but that's all right. All right? Okay. He was waving at his friend. I saw a hand go up, but he was waving at his friend. Okay? But if you need prayer for anything tonight, you come down here. Ladies talk to the ladies, men to the men. I looked at them and said, ladies, and I looked at them. I don't know. I'm reconciled to God. That's all I know, okay? Amen. I don't believe we had any first-time guests. Was that correct? No first-time guests tonight? Praise the Lord. Hey, pastor will be in the house Wednesday night. Our power. I want to invite all of you to come on down to the Cox Business Center for graduation at 7 o'clock. Friday night, we're going to have a great time. It'll be our last one down there. For those of you graduates, you ought to come on down and join with us on the last one that we have there. I think it's been since the late 70s that they've been going down there for that. And so it's an end of an era, but it's not the end of us. Amen. We just keep getting stronger and stronger. I believe that with all my heart. But come on down and invite everyone you've done. All right. Tell somebody you love them tonight. Tell them you're glad they're here and you can be dismissed. God bless you.